Next up, we have a talk show. So in our major programs, again, brought to you by students of Qom, we usually have a talk show where we invite some of our scholars to come and do a very quick question and answer session. So tonight, we humbly want to invite again four esteemed scholars. We're going to invite them up. Well, first, let's send another salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajhum. Very humbly, we would like Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran, Sheikh Muhammad Hussain from Trinidad and Tobago, Sayyid Amir Bahbahani from Canada, and Sheikh Ali Qummi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan to come up to the stage with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, mashallah, mashallah. So again, we continue, dear brothers and sisters, with our talk show. We are trying to go as fast as we can. But it's up to our speakers to try to keep it as short and sweet as possible, inshallah. So the first question that we have is something that was brought up also in the video presentation that we saw earlier on, where we saw Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. He spoke about some of the misconceptions that are regarding the awaiting the Imam. One of the things, of course, that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, also brought up was this idea of certain traditions that are taken out of context and they are used in order to bring up certain deviated points of view. In regards to that, you know, we find that is the Islamic Republic in opposition to the goals of the Imam of our time, as some have tried to do via these certain traditions, namely that say that before the advent of the 12th Imam, any flag that is raised is a flag of falsehood. So it's a difficult question, inshallah. If Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi humbly accepts, we'd like to put forth this question to you in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected brothers and sisters. Allahumma ajjil li waliyika al-faraj wal afiyata wan nasr. With the permission of the dear scholars and teachers, especially our teacher Ayatollah Araki. Yes, this was a historical misconception about any movement before the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. You know, there are certain narrations in our books, even authentic books like Al-Kafi, that apparently says that any flag before the flag of Imam al-Mahdi is the flag of Taghut. And the followers of Ahlul Bayt shouldn't follow such a flag. But you know, it's very apparent and it's visible and obvious for the people who has some acquaintance with the science and knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, that if you come across a narration, you have to see other narrations and other verses of Quran in regards with this narration. So this is why that we say that we need to have a collective conception about our riwayat and the verses of Quran. This is why if you go back to Imam al-Khomeini or some even greater scholars, they say that this kind of narrations, like the narration of the flag before the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, this is talking about the false Mahdis before Imam al-Hujjah. Those people who invite people to themselves as Imams. This happened during the time of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi, and Imam al-Sadiq was so strong against those people. So, if you want to understand the meaning of these narrations, we have to put the narrations and the verses of Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf and Nahyu an al-Munkar and the similar narrations. We have in Al-Kafi a famous authentic narration by Isa ibn al-Qasim from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. There Imam al-Sadiq clearly says, if someone invites you to a movement, look to him. If he is inviting you to himself, don't follow him. And then he talks about the example of Zayd. And he says, Zayd kana saduqan. and he was a righteous person in his movement. So if you look at all those narrations all together, you will figure out that those narrations about the flag before of Imam al-Mahdi is talking about in a specific atmosphere and time and space in the time of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi and after him. But if someone comes forward and says that I'm going to, according to Quran, to do al-amru bil-ma'ruf and nahyu anil-munkar, and I'm going to defend the community of Shia people, and I'm going to establish a government not in the name of a ma'soom imam, but to somehow, my goal is to prepare and pave the road for the reappearance of imam, that would be acceptable. And we have in our history, we had many of mujtahideen, great scholars. You have Muhaqqiq al-Karak, you have Sheikh Kashif al-Ghita, you have Sid Abdul Hussein al-Lari, you know, he was one of the famous and great students of Mirza Shirazi. He has two great ta'liqat and makasib and rasail. He established a local vilayat al-faqih 100 years before Imam Khomeini. And he had seen these narrations. He was familiar with riwayat and ayat and narrations. And this is important, that if we want to go to riwayat and understand the meaning of the narrations, we have to do this collectively. You cannot find any mujtahid that issues a fatwa just based on one narration, regardless of other narrations related to this issue or to this subject. So this is so important. And Imam al-Khomeini has a beautiful statement here. He says, even we had some narrations without any problem in the meaning and in the chain about this, because this is against the obvious meaning of Quran, we wouldn't accept and follow those narrations. So it's so important. These narrations does not talk about any government before the Imam al-Mahdi. And there are tons of ayat, verses of Quran, and narrations that asks us to stand against the oppression and to defend the mu'mineen and righteous people. And we all know that the Islamic Revolution by Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh, was one of the greatest examples of this uprising and revolution of righteous people.
Jazakallah khair, tayyibullah anfasakum. Thank you, Sayyid Muhammad Hashmi. May Allah protect the Islamic Revolution. May Allah protect the Islamic Republic. Of course, may Allah protect and give long life and health to the Wali al-Faqih, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, for his protection and his long life and his health. We send him a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajum. So we have seen that the Islamic Revolution was one of these huge turning points in the transformation of the history of humanity. Here we wanted to ask the next question, which is, what is the relation and the connection between the Islamic Revolution, of course that was victorious in 1979, and the hastening of the reappearance of the Imam of our time? May Allah hasten his reappearance. We're going to humbly ask Sheikh Muhammad Hussain from Trinidad and Tobago if you can take this question for us. Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته اول ببخشید اسخای میکنم جلوی بزرگواران آیت الله عراقی اسخای میکنم خب to answer your question Sayyid, the relationship between the reappearance of the 12th Imam and the Islamic Revolution is that they are so entwined, so connected, that there is no reappearance unless there's a revolution. Now, what do we mean is that there had to be a change. Something had to take place in the world. Someone had to stand up. Someone had to put their foot down and say, okay, the mainstream tyrants that are leading the world, that are dictating the way that we live, the things that we see on television, we have to stand against them in order for the Mahdi to reappear. Because we have to build the grounds for the Mahdi to reappear. He's not going to reappear if the grounds are not built. Now, how do we build the grounds for the reappearance of the Mahdi? There are two ways. The first way, as you said, Sayyid, by khud sazi. Okay, we follow the Islamic precepts. our usuluddin, our furuuddin. We work on ourselves, work on our family. But the second way is that there must be some sort of Islamic rule generally for the public. And this is the formation of an Islamic government. Okay, these are the grounds that have to be built for the Mahdi to reappear. He's not going to reappear if there is not an Islamic government. So Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, he took the initiative to form the Walayatul Faqih and form this Islamic government that sets the tone and paves the way for the Mahdi to reappear. And following Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, his deputy, his successor, Ayatollah Khamenei rahmatullah alayh, he also carried on this tradition that he will stand against tyranny. He will stand against the oppressive rulers of the world, the Zionists, the Israelis, Ahl Saud, the great Satan, which is America. And when he continues on this path, eventually, with our prayers and our du'as, the Imam who is, alhamdulillah, seeing us and witnessing our actions, will reappear and fill the world with justice and remove this injustice. I don't know how much time I have, but I would like to end with a quote from the Rahba, the respected leader. He says, and I quote the Rahba, he says, "The Iranian nation shall definitely be able to uplift and grant honor to the Islamic civilization throughout the world by the help of spiritual unseen assistance, which is the Mahdi. With the pure prayers of the people and the spiritual guidance of Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, the nation shall be the mighty palace of the Islamic civilization." And here we remember that quote from Shahid Qasim Soleimani when he said that Iran is the haram. Because here is where it was established. The only Islamic government in the world, the true Islamic government in the world, is right here. And he ended by saying, "The youth must prepare themselves for this mighty government. The faithful and sincere forces shall establish this as their objective." Okay, so I'll end here. And we, just to recap, the question asking, what is the connection between the Islamic revolution and the reappearance of the Al-Mahdi, is that they are one and the same. One cannot happen without the other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Ahsant, Brother Sheikh Muhammad Hussain from Trinidad and Tobago. Sayyid Bahbahani, I'd like to kind of follow up on this question and see what your thoughts are, again, on this relation between the Islamic revolution and the hastening of the appearance of the Imam of our time. In the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa ajazi ulama, ustadana aziz. As we know, one of the main element that we need in order to pave the ground for reappearance of our Imam is ma'rifah. And not any ma'rifah, not any knowledge, the knowledge about Imam. We have this beautiful hadith from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he says, "Man mata wa lam ya'rif imama zamanihi, mata mitatan jahiliya." Whoever dies without having knowledge about the Imam of his time will face a death like an ignorant one. This hadith, it is popular among both Shia scholars and Sunni scholars. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us about a negative correlation between knowledge of one's knowledge about his own Imam of time and ignorance. So, as we all know, knowledge and ignorance are relative subjects, relative concepts. Meaning, it is not that you are either knowledgeable or ignorant. Knowledge has its own levels, and ignorance also has its own levels. And it can be said that knowledge and ignorance are measures for determining one's proximity to the truth. The distance of person to the truth depends on his knowledge and ignorance level. So in this hadith, very beautifully, In fact, we speak of an element so momentous, so important, so effective, that has a huge impact in a person that could get him out of the boundaries of ignorance and take him to the boundaries of knowledge. So, as this element is the knowledge about the Imam of one's time. We could have many tools. Some people go study in Hosa, some people study different ahadith and Quran in order to elevate their ma'rifah about their Imam. But among all those tools, the best tools, that none can be effective as having an established government leading by a faqih, by an alim, as a leader of this nizam. This nizam, which is led by a faqih, an alim, an adil, is a perfect tool in order, not for Iranians, not for people of a certain country, no, for a whole world, in order to elevate their knowledge, their ma'rifah, about their Imam of Zaman. So, as Imam Khomeini says, Inqilab Iran, Infijar Noor bud. So the revolution of Iran, it was an explosion of lights, of knowledge and ma'rifah throughout the world in order to elevate people and save them from the boundaries of ignorance. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much, Sayyid Bahbahani from Canada. Again, two very beautiful answers. We're going to go ahead and continue with another question, which perhaps seems to be a little bit more on the socio-political side here at Students of Qom. Of course, we like the socio-political aspect of Islam, just like every believer across the world. So we find that the Islamic Revolution, it supports the various resistance movements across the region. Now, our question is this a support for the resistance movements across the region? Is this something that is acceptable? If it is acceptable, why is this support for the resistance movements acceptable, and how can it be related to the Imam of our time? Inshallah, we're going to go ahead and if Sheikh Ali Qumi humbly accepts, we would put this question forth to you in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. First of all, I would like to apologize and take permission from our teachers, especially Ayatollah Mohsen Araki, and inshallah ask you for the du'as for all of the students, including us, to be able to help and support the Islamic system. To your question, first of all, we have to establish that the resistance movements that you are referring to, whether they are legitimate resistance movements or not. This is the first thing we establish. So let me give some examples before we try to establish this fact. If you look at Hashd al-Sha'bi in Iraq, right? You look at Hezbollah in Lebanon. You look at Hamas in Palestine. You look at Ansarullah in Yemen. All of these resistance movements, which are spread across the West Asian region, the ones we mentioned, they definitely and indeed are legitimate resistance movements run by the people of these countries and these nations. So once we establish, and by the way, there are other resistance movements as well, the one in Bahrain, as you all know, the one in Azerbaijan, Kashmir, there is Nigeria, there's Syria. So this entire region has multiple resistance movements going on, and they are almost, one can undeniably say that all of them are being supported by the Islamic Republic of Iran. So the condition is, if they're legitimate, Iran supports it. The question you posed is that whether the support is okay or not. Is it acceptable or not? Look, Iran has, just like any other country, and I would say just like any other individual, it has three options. The first option is to deny these movements and oppose them. The second option is to support these Islamic movements. And the third option is to be insignificant, indifferent, stay silent. I don't support it and I don't oppose it. Now, this third category is interesting because they think that they're playing smart, while, as we know in the light of the traditions, that if we are not supporting the oppressed, it is a form of oppression. It is zulm. So now, given these facts, Iran, just like any other country, any other nation, or any other people, or any other individual, has only three options. Support it, oppose it, or try to pretend that they're indifferent. Well, guess what? If these movements are legitimate, and if these people are oppressed, and if they are under duress, they're putting up with the oppression of the global tyrants, then what's wrong in Iran supporting these movements? It becomes very obvious that in the light of ahadith that we have, the formula is that if the resistance movement is organic, if it is genuine, if it is legitimate, if it is just, if it is principled, if it is people-oriented, if it is oppressed-oriented, if it possesses the religious legitimacy, then as a Muslim, we have to support it. If these conditions are fulfilled in any Islamic movement, then we have to support it. And Iran is doing exactly the same. It is an established fact of Islam, brothers and sisters, to support the oppressed and oppose the oppressors. We all know this hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in Nahj al-Balagha, in his Nama 47. Kuna lizalimi khasman walil mazlumi awna. Be the helper and the supporter of the oppressed, and be the opposer and the enemy of the oppressor. This is the wasiyah of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And if you look at the narration in Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'ma, Sheikh Saduq mentions that the purpose, the philosophy, the grand scheme of Imam Zaman alayhi salam returning is yamla'ullahu bihil ardh kistan wa adla kama muliat zulman wa jawra. That the Imam of the time, he's going to reappear, he's going to fill up this earth with justice and equity, just the way it was filled with oppression and tyranny. So if we support the oppressors, oppressed rather, and oppose the oppressors, and if we fight them, this is in line with the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. And the Islamic Republic of Iran, the system of Wilayatul Faqih, the resistance movements are doing exactly the same. So this should suffice for this question.
Jazakallah. Thank you, Sheikh Ali Kumi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Sayyid Muhammad Hashmi, I do want to kind of stay on this question a little bit more, if you would like to add again this question that the Islamic the Islamic Revolution supports the various Islamic resistance movements across the region. If it is acceptable, then why? And how is it related to the Imam of the time? Bismillah.
Imam Khomeini has a very important letter in the last year of his holy life. We call it Nameh Pazirish Qatnameh, the letter in which he accepted the UN resolution about the Iran-Iraq war. In that letter, I'm going to go beyond the Islamic resistance. Imam Khomeini, first of all, since the Islamic revolution, he didn't believe that this revolution is confined to Iranian people. This is so important. This wasn't just a Persian revolution or Iranian revolution. Then he was talking about the whole Muslim world, and he didn't stop in that place. Imam Khomeini, in this very important statement or letter, I ask you to read it once, twice, three times, so important from Imam Khomeini. This is the manifestation of the Islamic revolution. There he says that we are the support of any oppressed human being in the world. So this conflict, this rivalry, this battle is not just between the Muslim and non-Muslims. No. This is, as our brother said, this is between the justice and the oppression. This is so important. This was the philosophy of Imam Khomeini behind the Islamic Revolution. And this is why you see in different corners of the world, even non-Muslim people, they have this solidarity with Imam Khomeini. Because they felt that Imam Khomeini is standing even for them, not just for the Shi'i people or the Muslim people. So the resistance in any place in the world, not just Islamic resistance, not just Shi'i resistance, any resistance, not just militarily resistance, any kind of resistance against the, you know, this monstrous empire of the Western powers is accepted by Imam al-Khomeini. So Imam al-Khomeini was standing there and talking to the world that we have to stand against these tyrannies. For what? For the humanity. For the humanity. This is the theory of Imam Khomeini. And Imam Khomeini believed that the essence of the humanity is under the title of Tawheed, and that is so important. So this is why it is related to the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Because we believe that Imam al-Mahdi is not just coming for us. Yes, our Shi'i brothers and sisters from Iran and Pakistan, Iraq and Lebanon. Yes, Imam al-Mahdi is just for us. No, he's coming, as Sheikh said, to fill this planet, this world, with the justice and equality. That is so important. Because this world was filled with tyranny and injustice and oppression. And that is so important. I think that this is, as here is said, that the ambassadors of the sunlight, the ambassadors have to convey this word to the world that we are coming to support any oppressed human being in any corner of the world. And Imam Khomeini did this, and the Islamic Revolution, Islamic Republic is capable of this. This is why we say that we support even the oppressed South American people, even we know they are not Muslims. Even in Europe, in Asia, in any, you know, place in this world, you see that the word of Imam Khomeini, the voice of Imam Khomeini is still alive. This is because Imam Khomeini believed in this theory, and he believed that because he believed in the theory of fitra, you know, scholars know that Imam Khomeini believed in the philosophy of fitra. He believed that human beings deep down, when they confront the injustice, they are acting according to their fitra. And he believed that the fitra in the takveen of this world is connected to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you.
Jazakallah. Thank you, Sayyid, so much for the beautiful response. We're kind of running out of time. We only have one more question that is quite important. We know we live in an information age. We live in an age of technology. It seems like every single individual has a smartphone or some kind of electronic device, social media, of course, mainstream media as well. So along these lines, we wanted to ask the following question, that what is the value of media when it comes to the hastening of the reappearance of the Imam of our time? And what can we do in our lives practically on the ground in order to be able to hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif? Sayyid Bahbani, I'm going to go ahead and start off with you in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So of course, these subjects are kind of related to each other. This is all for paving the ground for reappearance of our Imam and hastening his appearance, inshallah. And of course, when we come to the subject of zulm, when we come to talks about the subject of oppressing, Quran says, "Inna shirka la zulmun azim." Is the shirk that is the real and the what?
The greatest,
exactly. The greatest zulm, the greatest oppression. But what is the shirk is the product of what kind of concept? Is the concept of istakhaffa qawmi. When you keep people in dark, they go towards ignorance. They go towards lack of knowledge. They go towards anything you feed them, they accept. And the shirk is a result of ignorance. So of course, as I said, the best tool, that's the second part of the question, what we can do, is if you want to use media, we should use the best tool, the most effective tool, in order to change people, in order to enlighten people. And that is nothing else but the message of our leader, Imam Sayyid Khamenei. The message of this Inqilab, the message of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi. These are the best example, the most effective messages that we could use in order to help people to get out of that zulm, out of that istakhaffa, out of that debased and ignorant state that the Western imperial system has created for them. So what we can do, the best thing is to use media in order to spread the message of Inqilab, the message of our leader, and the message of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Rahmatullah Alayhi, Jazakallah. Sheikh Muhammad Hussain, I think I'd like to follow up again this question about the role of media in the hastening of the reappearance of the Imam of the time, and what can every single one of us do practically on the ground in the name of Allah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Said, I think this topic would need maybe 1 hour to discuss, because we are in the presence of a media organization, and we can speak so much about this. But the role the media plays in hastening the reappearance of the Mahdi, you know, where do you begin? If you look at it from a negative perspective, what comes to mind is when Netanyahu khabis waqti ke guftid ke bishtar az 25000 shabake bar alay Iran, meaning more than 25000 channels they're spreading news in Iran, because Iran has satellites, yani mahvare dar inja. It goes to show you what is their hadaf, what is their goal, when you look at it from a negative perspective. Because in every religion, there's a munji, there's a savior, there's one who will come to restore justice to the world. But the munji, or the savior, that the tyrannic powers want to create, it's one that is not real, one that is fake. If we just look at some of the programs that they feed to our kids, it's about Batman, Superman, you know, this man, that man. And he is portrayed as the munji, as the savior. But in Islam, we know that this is gere waqi, yani bahman waqinis. Waqinas ke Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But when we look at from a positive perspective side, we have a really a great role to play. And this also brings us back to the topic of jihad al-tabi'in. You know, what is our responsibility in spreading the truth, the true message? And we go no further than the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nahl, verse number 44, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyana lin-nas. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Holy Quran to the Holy Prophet for what? Litubayyana lin-nas, not to litubayyana lil mu'minin, or litubayyana lil iraniyin, litubayyana lil syriyin, lebanin. No, litubayyana lin-nas means that this book has the answer to explain for everyone of mankind, or go against what the mainstream media is trying to promote, what they are showing to us. So when we see organizations such as these, although they are in the minority, we have to support them. We have to donate to them. We also have to, as you said, Sain, everyone has smartphones, everyone is on social media. We also have to do our role in combating against these social media powers, because they're in the majority. And unfortunately, they spread, you know, all of these subliminal messages. I even, you know, I want to keep speaking, but I don't know how much time we have. I saw this movie, a Western movie, and and they were saying, you know, this evil person, and they were calling him Said Ali. They were blatantly saying an evil person by the name of Said Ali. You know, so what message are they trying to spread to us? Who is Said Ali?
Sayyid Ali.
Said Ali Khamenei. And they're saying that this evil person, he wears a black turban. You know, these are subliminal messages that, you know, we may think it's innocent and, you know, there's no harm in it. But this goes into the subconscious of the watcher, of the listener, of the youth. And subconsciously, there is a hatred towards the Islamic Republic. So, you know, just to wrap up, our responsibility is a really heavy one. If we're on the side of the Walayatul Faqih, if we're not on his side, okay. You know, some people, they want to choose the middle ground and say, okay, I don't want to be involved in any media, or, you know, I don't want to have my face on the television because when I go back to my country, they're going to hold me. Okay, so then what are you doing in Iran? They already know that you're in Iran, whether you go on TV or not. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that you have to show yourself, but there are only two sides. There's no middle ground. When it comes to haq and batil, you have to choose one side. And the rahbar, Imam Khamenei rahmatullah alayh, may Allah prolong his life, has vividly and clearly laid out that path for us, if we want it.
Jazakallah, Asan, Jazakallah, thank you. Sheikh Ali, because again, it's an important question. So we had, you know, one from Canada, we had one from Trinidad and Tobago. So still, I'd like to get your take on it. We believe you do a little bit of work on the social media level. So, I mean, what is the value of media when it comes to hastening the reappearance of the Imam, and what is something that we can practically do, inshallah, in 4 minutes, if you can?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So you ask a long question, a loaded question.
With no time.
Sure. So brothers and sisters, we're living in a time where the world of shirk and nifaq has waged a hybrid war against the world of Islam, especially the divine system of Wilayatul Faqih. I don't think anybody in this entire place would deny what I just said. Media undoubtedly is one of their most effective tools. When they wage a war against Islam and the believers, media is one of their most effective tools. The enemies of Islam and humanity are using media to wage a soft war, which is a psychological warfare, against the camp of truth and haq and righteousness. The evil powers of the world, brothers and sisters, push their propaganda through this very media that we have in our hands, in the form and shape of smartphones, we have in our homes, in the form and shape of televisions, the movies, the sitcom, you name it. They launch their media campaigns, they launch their defamation campaigns even, against the holy personalities of Islam, the holy concepts of Islam, the sacred concepts of Islam. They're doing all this while we witness it. You all saw what happened with this Mahsa Amini case, right? Recently. So I think, given the situation, to answer the first part of your question, brothers and sisters, can any intelligent person deny the effective role of media in setting the narrative right? This is the Jang-e-Rivayat Ha, as the leader calls it. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei called it Jang-e-Rivayat Ha. And in another place he says that if you do not narrate, the enemy is going to narrate. And rest assured, the narrative of enemy is going to prevail, because they are the ones who are narrating it. So I think the role of media is very clear for anyone. What can we do about it practically? Very quickly, brothers and sisters, whenever it comes to you having a responsibility on your shoulders, you know, Islam says you turn towards the wali. Ask the wali what our responsibility is. Don't ask, you know, your brother, your uncle, your grandfather. No, Ask the wali. Look towards the wali. Look towards the infallible, the ma'asum. If it's a prophet, look towards the prophet. If it's an imam, look towards the imam. If it's the deputy of the imam in the occultation of imam, look towards the deputy of imam. And in today's time and age, we know the deputy of imam is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We know he is guiding the ummah. So why don't we go and ask Imam Khamenei what the responsibility is? He says that today the responsibility of each and every single one of us is jihad-e-tabyeen. Jihad of explanation, the jihad of clarification. He did not leave out any exception. And he said it's a wazifa-e-qat'i wa fawri. He did not even allow us to delay it. That, oh, I'll do it, I understand it, but 10 years. 5 years, 8 years, 20 years. No, brothers and sisters, he is very clear about it. It's an immediate duty of each single one of us. Jihad-e-tabyeen. And very quickly, especially for the younger ones, the elders know, ustads know, the younger ones, the youth, what is jihad-e-tabyeen? When it comes to jihad-e-tabyeen, brothers and sisters, Imam Khamenei is very clear. Look at the attacks of the enemy. The enemy attacks, you look at where they attack and you defend on those fronts. So today, let me ask you a very clear question. Who is the enemy attacking? Is it attacking a person? Is it attacking a, I don't know, media organization? I don't know, a hosa, a madrasa? No, it's attacking the entire system of Wilayatul Faqih. So the utmost important defense has to be in the field of defending Wilayatul Faqih. The concept of Wilayatul Faqih, the system of Wilayatul Faqih. And today the manifestation of this divine system is none other than the Islamic Republic of Iran. Going back to what my brother said, Shahid Soleimani said, the entire Islamic Republic is the haram. We have to defend the haram. We have to defend the ideological boundaries of Islam, being the Hosa students. It's not necessarily important, you know, we go to the war front or not, pick up a gun or not. We are Hosa students. We are responsible for the ideological boundaries of Islam. So brothers and sisters, you know, I would just like to end this question with a quote from Imam Khamenei. On October 10th, 2012, Imam Khamenei says, if you can learn these computers and cyberspace that you have access to, you can deliver the word of truth to thousands of audiences who do not necessarily know you. This is an immense opportunity. Do not let this opportunity be wasted. And pay attention to this last sentence. Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, the deputy of Imam Sahibul Zaman says, if this opportunity is wasted, Allah will ask me and you on the Day of Judgment. So that's the comprehensive answer in the allotted time. Sorry for taking too much of your time.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you. We want to thank all of our panelists tonight on the talk show that we had. Believe it or not, we gave every single one of them an average of only 5 minutes. And in that average of 5 minutes, mashallah, all this beautiful wisdom and knowledge and ma'rifah. May Allah bless every single one of them and their families as they exit the stage. We send every single one of them, Sayyid Muhammad Hashmi from Islamic Republic of Iran, Sheikh Muhammad Hussain from Trinidad and Tobago, Sayyid Amir Bahbani from Canada, Sheikh Ali Qummi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. We send every single one of them a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.